Tonight's reading is taken from 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 to 19, and can be found on page 351. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all the Israelites had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam, and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days and then come back to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. They replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "Tell these people who have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, as the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." The king answered the people harshly. Rejecting the advice given him by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from the Lord, to fulfill the word the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah the Shilonite. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, O Israel. Look after your own house, O David." So the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram, who was in charge of forced labor, but all Israel stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escaped to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day.
At some point in his life, there came a shortage of future. At some point in his life, the past became more certain, more reliable. It was then they called him old. That's the opening of a poem by a Christian poet, and he says that people look on old age as a shortage of future. Time left when all you can do is look back. I wonder if you think that's right. When I turned 50, a few years ago now, my two fellow pastors both gave me a birthday card, and I'd like to tell you what they said. Yes, you were one of them, Neil. One of them said, "The best thing about being 50 is not being 60. And the other one said, "Maturity is too high a price to pay for age." And I still haven't worked out if that was a compliment or an insult. In many churches in the United Kingdom, I'd be one of the younger people in the congregation. But at City, I'm sure most of you see me as pretty ancient. Anyway, our subject this evening from the book of Proverbs is wisdom for old age. And as we come to look at what the Bible has to say about old age, I think many of us easily get sucked into thinking the same way as our society does, as the people around about us do. Getting older is almost universally seen in the Western world as a bad thing. Our culture has a very negative view of old age. Most people over the age of, 30, maybe less, would like to be younger again. So there's a booming business in toupees and Botox injections and facelifts and so on. There's a whole cable channel devoted to cosmetic surgery. And to our shame, old people in the Western world are often looked on as a nuisance, as an expense. One of the big issues in the upcoming election is how we're going to pay for the care of all these wretched elderly people as the congregation get older. And on a more sinister note, that's the whole backdrop to the discussions that go on about assisted suicide, isn't it, and euthanasia. We still sometimes hear people talking about a good old age, don't we? She lived, people say, she lived to a good old age. And usually it means a long life rather than something about the quality of life. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, God told Abraham, you will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. And the same thing is said about a number of other men of God in the Old Testament. But what does the Bible say is good about old age? Maybe that's what you're thinking. What is good about old age? Well, a number of things, I think. And here's the first one. Aim for a godly old age. Aim for a godly old age. There's not many verses in the Bible about old age, about age at all, but they're all positive about age. Old age is pictured in the Bible as a good thing. So here's Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, gray hair, the splendor of the old. I'm starting to feel better already. Our society would have no problem with the first half of this verse, would they? We idolize the young, the stars of the football field and pop stars and models and so on. A source of excitement, of admiration, hero worship, an example to follow, an ideal to aim at. Be young, be strong, stay like that as long as you possibly can. The glory of young men and women being their physical attributes. Yes, our world's going to embrace that bit easily enough. But Proverbs 20:29 has another half, doesn't it? Grey hair, the splendor of the old. The splendor of the old. It means magnificence or honor. So the Bible is saying that a good old age is something to be aimed at. Now, how different is that from the view of society? Life is a good gift from God, and long life is a blessing from God. And in the Old Testament days, that was recognized very clearly. If you read in the book of Daniel, people used to address the kings in Babylon, O king, live forever. That was a blessing. And if someone's life was shortened prematurely, that was a judgment, that was a disaster. So an Old Testament curse would be, there will not be an old man in your family line. That would be a curse. Well, what about us? We live after the cross and the resurrection, so we have a clearer hope of eternal life, and that ought to put our view of this life into perspective. But we mustn't allow that to devalue this present life. It's given to us as a good gift from God. Prophet Isaiah, looking forward to the coming kingdom of God, wrote this. Should come up on the overhead. I've lost it in my notes. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. So, the glory of young men is their strength, grey hair, the splendour of the old. It's important that we understand the significance of grey hair in the Bible. Throughout the ancient Near East, grey hair was symbolic of wisdom. So we read in the book of Job, "Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding?" And wisdom of the wisdom of age is symbolized by grey hair in the Bible. Grey hair is the splendor of the old. So, guys, if you've got Grecian 2000, go and throw it out. If you go to Rome, you can go into the Vatican, you can go into the Sistine Chapel, and you can see Michelangelo's immense painting on the ceiling there, the creation of Adam. And God is pictured there as being very old with lots and lots of white hair. Was that just Michelangelo's idea? Well, no, it wasn't. It's taken out of Daniel 7 and other places in the Bible. Daniel 7, God is described as the Ancient of Days, and Daniel says in his vision his hair was as white as wool. So white hair in the Bible is symbolic of God's wisdom. Long life and wisdom go together. God has lived forever, from everlasting to everlasting. God's wisdom is perfect. Old age and spiritual wisdom in the Bible go hand in hand. Remember Simeon and Anna, when the baby Jesus was brought into the temple? They were very old. They were right at the end of their lives. But they were the ones who recognized who Jesus was. But old age doesn't automatically bring wisdom. Here's another verse from Proverbs. It's Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Grey hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. The glory of old age is that it's the culmination of a life lived for God. A good old age is the goal of a godly life. Unlike a godless old age, which is a disgrace. People say there's no fool like an old fool. Aim for a godly old age. Now listen, development of Christian character takes time. There's a proverb, it's not a biblical one, but it says, sow an act and reap a habit, sow a habit and reap a character, sow a character and reap a destiny. The Christian life is a life of change. Christian life is a life of progressively, year by year, being transformed more into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. A life of developing God-like character. So it ought to be true, that Christ-likeness is most obvious in elderly Christians. That ought to be the case. And I'm sure it's no accident that the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is described as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fruit takes time to grow. It's like an apple tree. An apple tree doesn't have apples on it this time of year. You wouldn't expect it to. Soon there'll be some blossom. It'll be very pretty, but it's not apples. Then there'll be leaves during the summer, then some little hard apples you couldn't eat, and it's only much later on in the year that the fruit comes, and it's ripe and it's ready to be picked. Well, the same with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on. It's fruit that takes a lifetime to ripen, and it's most evident, or should be most evident, in older Christians. So, grey hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. So, every Christian, all of us here, should be aiming for a godly old age. That's where we should be intending to go. Now, I don't know what your ambition in life is. Somehow I doubt that your ambition is to be old. But maybe it should be. What's the reward for a righteous life? Maybe some people would say, well, financial security, wealth, prosperity. Some people might say good memories. Some people might say, well, just an opportunity to put your feet up and start working. The Bible says the reward for a righteous life is a godly old age. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. So, as God's people, we need to be countercultural in our approach to age. Aspire to be mature and wise as a Christian. Make it your aim to grow old with godliness. Make it your goal, a godly old age. George Bernard Shaw once said, "Youth is wasted on the young." And I think he meant by that, if only the people with all the energy and enthusiasm of youth could have the wisdom that comes later in old age. Well, I think there's two ways in which we should be trying to do something about that. One of them is that the older should be ready to share their wisdom with the young. And the second is that the young ought to be prepared to listen to the old. So here's our second lesson for getting old. Be a blessing to the young. Be a blessing to the young. Aim for a godly old age. Be a blessing to the young. We live in a society where the attitude of the young to the old, and quite often the attitude to the old of the old to the young as well, is one of impatience, sometimes even contempt. Some young people are embarrassed by their parents or even their grandparents, ashamed of them, need to learn respect. Mark Twain said, "When I was 12 years old, I thought my father was a fool. But when I reached 18, I was astonished to see how much the old man had learnt." Well, guess who changed? We need to learn to respect age. We would do well to take a look at the extended family in Africa or the Far East, where several generations live together, and the elderly look after the young when they're little, and the children look after the elderly when they become frail, and there's a real interdependence between the generations. Well, look, here we are in the Christian family, old and young together in the church. It's not common in our society, but you see it in the church. Different ages altogether. We truly are an extended family. Here's another proverb, Proverbs 17, verse 6. "Children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children." So we should be proud of elderly Christians. We should take delight in elderly Christians. We should value their wisdom. I think this is an area where we're seriously handicapped at City Church. One of our principal weaknesses is that so many of us are young. Does that sound strange to you? Many churches are praying and praying that more young people would come in. We need to be praying for more old people at City. Christians with experience of many years, Christians with years of wisdom from the Lord. And older Christians can be a real example and encouragement to younger believers. So older Christians should be a blessing to the young, and younger Christians should be seeking their advice. It's possible, I think, to be in a Christian union or a church full of young people like City Church, and then start to wonder how you're going to get on as the years go by and you get older. How am I going to keep going? How am I going to keep going when I get a job or a more responsible job? How am I going to keep going as a Christian when I've got a family? What about when my parents die? How would I cope as a Christian if I got a chronic illness? Will I be able to hold on to Jesus as the years go by and all these sorts of things happen to me? What's going to happen? Well, what an encouragement to spend time with an older Christian who's going to say, well, I've been there. Jesus held on to me in every situation, in good times and bad times, year after year, decade after decade. Jesus held me fast. And we need people around us who are going to tell us that, don't we? I've been a Christian now for 37 years, and I can tell you Jesus never let me down, not yet, not in 37 years. Christian character is proved by age. How impatient we can be. In his parables, Jesus taught the importance of time in the growth of the kingdom of God. And the same thing is true for growth in Christian character. Think of the parable of the sower. Which ground produced the good crop? Well, you had to wait. You had to wait for the sun to scorch some seeds and the weeds to strangle other seeds. Same thing with Christian character. It's proved over time. Think of the parable of the two houses. Which house had the solid foundation? Well, you had to wait. You had to wait until the storm came to find out. Christian character is tested. Christian character is proved over time. So what an encouragement to spend time with elderly Christians. I found it a huge encouragement to know some very old Christians. Christians who've survived the sun and beaten off the thorns and weathered the storms. And their Christian character has been proved by age. You see, young people only know about youth. They've never been old. Old people have been young. They know about youth and age. I don't know if you were with us at the beginning of our series in Proverbs. Maybe you remember in the opening chapters, Proverbs takes the form of a father giving advice to a son. So we read in chapter 5, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to the words of my insight." And then we read in Proverbs 23, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." That's usually good advice in our natural families. It's also good advice in the church family. It's good to have Christian friends your own age. Of course it is. But when we really need wise advice in our Christian lives, it's older Christians who are most likely to provide it. Now, we read earlier how when King Solomon died, his son Rehoboam became king, and the future of God's people was sort of hanging in the balance. And Rehoboam consulted the elders of Israel, and the elders of Israel advised Rehoboam to treat the people gently. But we read Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. And they urged him to be harsh and brutal. And it was the young men's advice he followed. And the whole kingdom fell apart, as we read. Well, in about, 2.5 weeks, we'll have the general election. And over the last, 40 years or so, politicians, and especially leaders, have becoming younger and younger, and by and large need to be better looking too. But that doesn't mean they're going to be good or wise in running the country. Perhaps what we need is some older, wiser heads in power, but that's not necessarily on offer. Well, the same can be true for churches. Maybe it seems good to have leaders who are young and trendy and cool, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be wise and godly. Older Christians are to be a blessing to the young. Younger Christians to respect and take advice from the older. So here's the third thing for about a good old age. Keep on serving God. Aim for a good old age. Be a blessing to the young. And then thirdly, keep on serving God. A good old age is a time to continue to serve God. In our Western culture, I think many people feel marginalized and useless when they get old, because our society doesn't value what they have to offer. Well, we need to resist that. We need to resist going down that route as a church. Listen to what Job had to say. Age should speak. Advanced years should teach wisdom. In the New Testament, the word elder means just exactly that. It means older man. It's used interchangeably with overseer, pastor, bishop. And most of the time, that means church leaders are going to be older. And it's important that those in leadership have experience and wisdom, that they've got tried and tested Christian character and faith. The church family, the leaders in many ways, are like the fathers of the congregation. And it's not just the leaders. Paul's instructions to Titus about how he should lead the church in Crete include this: the older men are to be worthy of respect. The older women are to train the younger women. So maybe as you get older, you have to hang up your football boots or put away your tennis racket. But when it comes to spiritual things, that's when older Christians should come into their own. If you're an older Christian, and there are some older Christians with us this evening, you're to be a role model and an example to young believers, a source of advice, a source of help. Keep on serving God as the years go by. I wonder what you think is the most important ministry in the church. Do you think it's those of us who teach the Bible at the front? Do you think it's those who lead home group? Do you think it's the evangelists amongst us? Well, we need all of these gifts, of course we do. But I'd like to suggest that one of the most important ministries in the church, and one of the most neglected, is prayer. And the great prayers in many churches are the elderly. And in fact, it seems to me it's slightly ironic that it's only as God takes away from people their energy and their ability and their opportunity to be running around doing all the other things in the church that they turn more and more to what's really important. When older Christians find themselves prevented from doing the more visible things in church, maybe even from coming to church at all, then they have more opportunity to engage in the real spiritual battle. They have time to spend praying. So, aim for a godly old age, be a blessing to the young, keep on serving God. And you know, the difference between the believer and the non-believer becomes more and more and more obvious as people get older and older. The believer and the non-believer are on two separate sets of rails, and they diverge as the years go past, and the difference becomes more obvious. If you speak to an elderly non-Christian about old age, what they say is nearly always negative. Failing eyesight, failing hearing, failing joints, difficulty with mobility, poor memory. They look back. They look back to the days when things were different. Nothing much to look forward to for them. Not really. Old age really is a shortage of future. For the Christian, it ought to be very different. The frustrations and the difficulties will be exactly the same, and they're very real. But the Christian's perspective is different, because a Christian is looking forwards as well as backwards. And as the various supports and helps of this life fail them, they cling more tightly to God, God who never fails. So that with Paul, the Christian should be able to say, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. The Christian life is preparing for heaven. Get ready for glory. There's the fourth thing this evening. Aim for a godly life, be a blessing to the young, keep on serving God, get ready for glory. The second president of the United States of America was a man called John Quincy Adams. And when he was very old, he was asked once how he was. And this is what he said. "Thank you, John Quincy Adams is very well in himself, sir. But the house in which he lives is falling to pieces. Time and seasons have nearly destroyed it. The roof is well worn, the walls are shattered, it trembles with every gale. I think John Quincy Adams will soon have to move out. But he himself is very well, sir. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Because the truth is, the Christian has started a new life in Christ, an everlasting life. And for the aging Christian, each day that passes, for every Christian, each day that passes is a day nearer glory, isn't it? A day nearer heaven. Get ready for glory. And let's remember what our eternal life cost. Jesus had no good old age. He died on the cross in his early 30s so that we might live. And while we struggle to look young and live longer, Jesus willingly gave up his life so that we might have life eternal. That's the hope Jesus has given us. Get ready for glory. So let's treasure this life God has given us. Let's value a good old age. Aim for a godly old age. Be a blessing to the young. Keep on serving God. But at the same time, remember that this life is a preparation for heaven. Everlasting life with a resurrection body that will never grow old. You know that song we sometimes sing? We're not actually singing it this evening, but that song, "There is a Redeemer, Jesus God's Son," you know the one I mean? I was speaking to Gerald Tanner, the pastor of the Lees Chapel in Lapworth, some of you will know him, and he does some services, church services for disabled people. And he was telling me that they sang that song in one of these services, and he saw a woman in a wheelchair in floods of tears, tears just pouring down her face as she sang, "When I stand in glory, I will see his face." When I stand, she said, when I'm in glory, there'll be no wheelchairs. For the first time, I'll stand. She'll have a resurrection body. I read an elderly Christian doctor said this. He said, "They say I am growing old because my hair is silver, and there are crow's feet in my forehead, and my step is not as firm and elastic as before. But they are mistaken. That is not me. The knees are weak, but the knees are not me. The brow is wrinkled, but the brow is not me. This is the house I live in. But I am young, younger than I was ever before. Old age, a shortage of future? Not at all. Old age is getting ready for glory." Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life you've given us. We thank you for the time you've given us in this earth, whether it's short or long. We thank you that life is a good gift and that we are here to honor you and bring glory to your name. Help us to determine to do that as the things that the world treasures are taken away from us. Help us to determine to live a godly old age because we are treasuring and valuing the things that can't be taken away from us. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ gave up any hope of an old age as a man in order that we might have eternal life and resurrection bodies where there will be no aging, in heaven where there'll be no tears or death or goodbyes. Father, we pray that you would give us a right perspective on this life. And Father, for those of us who are young, I pray that they would learn to respect elderly Christians and to treasure their advice and their wisdom and their experience, and to learn from that, so that together we might glorify your name. Amen.